You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right. As a host, turns out the light. You know, it reminds me of when I first got in this business, and you know, you're working on your first machine, and you say, how should I sound to the audience? Welcome, everybody.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Happy Easter.
Good Friday.
Jewish people say, good to Friday.
Good to Friday.
Good Friday.
Yes.
God bless all the grandkids who stopped by their grandparents to leave them a palm frond.
Okay. Was that last week?
Last week, Palm Sunday.
Yeah, Palm Sunday.
Yes,
yeah.
Good
Palm
Friday.
Sunday. I don't know. I'm some Jewish guy. I don't know.
Yeah, it was all the Jewish men and women, children.
But we had Passover last Monday.
Passover, yeah.
And you know when Passover is long, when rabbis are looking at you and saying, oh, another day of Passover. By the way, John Michael turned me on to some stones. I used it today. You know the small one?
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Well, you know, it's called Rock. It's the places.
You get money. You get commission.
Well, you know, you have to understand, I've been working part-time at this amazing rock store out in North Hollywood.
Is that Farmdale?
It's on Farmdale. And the place is fantastic. And it's called Rock Our World. And it's this warehouse out there. Now, they have a minimum purchase order of $500 because they sell massive pieces of stone.
I'll announce it.
Massive pieces of stone. So come out and visit me there. You can call me on my cell phone, which is 310-908-9853.
Okay.
And all of you guys can also make an appointment with me.
Get some stones.
I've got some readings out there. Come get some stones. And I will set you up with some of the most amazing, gorgeous, huge crystals.
I'm a witness, John.
Yes, exactly.
I stood in front of Buddha. I felt his energy.
Yeah,
Buddha.
I know.
Well, John, your studio has enlightened me. Literally, the time and space with you has cleared my mind. It's given me freedom to feel like I know.
But I have a question. Why did Scientology take over an old church? this is my question. I was shocked. There was an old church in North Hollywood where Amy Simple McPherson got it in. And now Scientology.
No, what happened?
I don't know. But next week, we're going to have McCall, who owns that store.
Gone.
She's going to come down here, and she's going to be one of our guests.
I saw the owners there while I was there. I saw the nice family that was there. Very nice and
babies.
Kind.
I don't mind
being there and speaking to you.
I know. It's great.
I feel comfortable. I'm learning.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I need to do is sweep.
Oh, you know what? Guess who called me? My cousin, who has no connection to me. Talked to me and said the doctor's name I spoke to from your phone.
Oh, yeah.
He said I spoke to him. I said, yes, he's in Nagashta. And he offered me a really good medicine for growing my developmental needs in my brain
still. Oh, very good. You talked to Arlen.
His name was mentioned by my cousin, but my cousin just mentioned him. So I was really happy.
Well, give me the plugs, Arlen.
Dr. Arlen in Nagashta.
Dr. Arlen Cage, he's one of the number one naturopathic doctors in the country.
That's what you want.
He's the one I want Cameron to go see.
I have holes in my brain.
Well, Arlen, the amazing thing about Arlen is he is the one who started the program to make it legal to have naturopaths practice medicine here in California. Head of the California Association of Naturopathic Medicine.
Does he take insurance?
I believe so, he does.
Yes, I have a recommendation for a doctor who takes insurance, Dr. Shammy. Okay, Los Encinas, too. Yeah, we take insurance. I have a special assigned psychologist for my personality that we're going into, John, together. Yeah. You and me in your office together. I was just assigned a special psychologist for my personality. And now I want to ask her.
What's your
personality today?
It was actually the description was that the personality is a gray area. After 50 years of psychiatry and medicine, my doctor, Dr. Shammy, Ali Shammy, Muhammad Shammy, 6657777788, has been my psychiatrist since 1997. Oh. And he says, most people put.
That's
he would
20
say,
years.
Yeah, most people, he's all people say, he says, as a Freudian psychodynamic analyst, he said, I can start psychoanalysis myself, but it's too costly, no need. He just prescribed me a light dose of Seroquel to help calm the anxieties that we're working with a bit for me to sleep for about a month.
I'm sure people are falling asleep
right now. Come on,
LSD. LSD on Venice.
We also have my friend James Wright.
James Wright.
And James is, just so you know, is an expert in all things conspiracy and about how crazy this world
they
is.
They had an article, if I could find it,
he's
from Newsweek magazine, all about the Bush family.
Oh, which, God.
It was a whole thing about Bush family. But George Sr. likes me, so I don't want her to say too much.
George Sr. and I have the same birthday.
Good. I'd like to meet George Sr. one day.
So, yeah.
Should just clarify
just
that
better it
was number one on Eisenhower's list.
Anyway, what I was going to mention, you're going to talk about the Illuminati.
Good, James.
And you know what was funny over the week of shows since we last...
You are the
since I last saw James. They had a show on. I think I don't know what's the talk, but the gal said,
your title here.
You know, there's a new thing called the Illuminati. Yeah, it was called the talk.
Oh, yes,
what's
yes,
the new
yes,
thing
yes,
called
yes.
the Illuminati? Then she goes in. She goes, about your position? They're taking over the world. And then she says, after that thought, she says, you know, the Illuminati, you know, we're going to have a show on it. You get a show on it, CBS is going to cancel you.
That's
sad.
Really?
CBS will not get involved with that.
Oh, I think they want the attention.
No. They won't get involved because they fired someone.
Really?
No, they won't get involved. But anyway, he gets into the, you know, the bad, the good people and the bad people that run this country, the Rockefellers, the who's a big steel company?
Baron Rothschild.
Rothschild is the banking and
foundation archaeologist.
No, the one the ex wrestler, the DuPont.
DuPonts, thank you.
DuPonts.
Yeah, Baron DuPont, Baron Rothschild, Baron Rockefeller,
and
Rockfathers.
And the Ford family.
Did not know.
They were Masons.
Right. Oh, yeah, they're all Masons.
They're all Masons.
That's pretty standard across
the
board.
By the way, if you can be a Mason. I saw a Masonic
you
temple.
You don't have to be a Mason. Another example.
In North Hollywood, there was a Masonic temple.
The Del Molay.
Yes, I know that one.
You know that one. Anyway, let's move on. We got to move on.
Yeah, I got into a parking lot fight at that Masonic temple in North Hollywood.
Anyway.
DARPA's.
Let's move on. Okay.
Kayente.
Yeah.
Right, yes, James.
Anyway, we talked about
Easter.
We talked about, by the way, BBS.
Right, James.
We set a record number of people. They had about 2.5 million people for their show. Listen to us last week.
Nice.
San Francisco. Here we
come. We're coming to San Francisco. Venice, we're going to be doing our show there.
That's right, James. Right.
Maximilian, we're shouting out to you.
Well, you know what's interesting? In San Francisco, we're getting a lot of calls from Oregon. They want to see John Michael. And then we've got some people from Washington. Yakima?
Texas. I don't know, but I love, you know, Portland, Oregon. Let's give a shout out.
Yeah.
One of my favorite places in the world.
Place.
There is a place called Powell's Books that I could spend a month there and never want to come back. It's the largest used bookstore in the world. It's exactly one block long, one block wide, and it's six stories high, and there are four places. Amazing.
Well, we'll have to check that out when we go to Portland.
I mean, absolutely.
By the way, another station we're looking at, Voice of America. They called me.
Yay.
We're gonna have them on. So we're gonna have Arizona, New Mexico, along with what we've been doing is pretty good because we've been getting a lot of people tagging along. Now we've got. In our past 362 stations.
Yay.
We're going to have another 100. So we're going pretty good doing the trout, and it's been fun. Actually, been a fun ride.
We're having a blast.
Yeah. BBS, say hello to San Francisco.
San Francisco, yo-ho-ho! Having a great gay old time here in L.A.
And by the way, we're going to set up a seminar.
Yes, we are. We're going to be doing a seminar.
We're going to do it at the...
And I'm going to be doing readings.
Hotel do you want to have
that? Well, we could do it at the Cherry-Jelly Center.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I love the jerk. Because we can have chocolate.
Yeah, and then we can do about conspiracies.
Ooh, yeah.
People will come in. You may have some hippies go, hey, man, what's conspiracy?
Hippies and karma and free spirit.
That's it. Yeah. There you go.
And one of the conspiracy things we're bringing in today is one of James's best friends, Corey Muniz, and she's coming to talk to us about the conspiracies with vaccines and how they're slowly killing us. And I made sure that she was booked.
Are you
this
talking
week.
About the vaccines?
I just all
took
the vaccines.
For the, because I'm diabetic. I just took one at Walmart.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And you know the gal
evil.
Evil.
The
very evil. You know what it was?
The flu one.
Pneumonia.
Well, we'll hear all about that.
But I got it free.
Well,
I got free. You know, I died
free. Free to kill you. That's what it is.
For free. And by the way, we'll find out about taking the yearly flu shot. Which will be soon.
Yeah. Well, when she's going to tell you tell us all about the yearly flu shot. It is going to be crazy.
Yeah, she'll have plenty to say about that, yeah.
Don't get your flu shot until you listen to my show. Anyway, one other thing I was going to mention on this wonderful Easter, you know, it's so fun with the holiday. By the way, Where's the best place to go on Easter Sunday?
Church.
Dinner with family.
Well, church is good.
I love church.
Hometown buffet.
Right now, I've got friends of mine who are inviting me to a couple of different things.
That's good.
But, okay, hometown
That's
buffet.
That's good.
Actually, you know, I love going to the whole, like, you know, family. You know, if I just get to hang out with some people I love, that's all that really matters to me.
That's all about.
I don't need anything else but love.
And by the
and
way.
Shopping.
Shopping and
love. Shopping and love.
And a new place.
And I'm looking for a new home.
Yes, that's it.
Hey, I am looking for a brand new home somewhere in Hollywood, West Hollywood, maybe Beverly Hills. Something fabulous.
Marina Del Rey.
I would love Marina Del Rey down there, or Playa Vista.
Or the end of the Cove in Malibu. I mean,
Malibu, you know what I'm saying? Malibu has a place now that they want is a duplex. I can see those two girls he's got and him being
happy.
Oh,
my babies? Yes, my two puppies.
Lots of babies.
Yeah.
I know. I really, you know, Malibu would be great because then I could do some really major work up there because the energy there is great for the psychic.
Well, you know what this is? What it is up there, it was a. I told you about the homes out here becoming where you have to fix them up.
Yeah.
It's a fix-up place.
Well, we could figure this out.
You fix up, get the land, and then you make $2 million. Welcome to California.
Love shopping. and you know, all my family's construction, refuse, and cement.
That's it, man. Anyway, I was going to mention the folks. The pre-scene portion of our broadcast tonight is brought to you by the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival, which is going to be going on next week. And you're all welcome. We've got tags for people to cover it. On the event, and what we're going to do is we have Cowboy. Have you been there? Cowboy Festival?
No, I've never been to the Cowboy Festival.
It's a place.
Danny, have you ever been to the Cowboy Festival?
No, I have not.
You have to go.
We're going to go.
I have
my cowboy hat.
We're going to have the first Latina country singer to be at this event. She'll be there. We're going to have about Doug Williams, a country star. So what money does is goes for the homeless project in Santa Clarita, which is
really?
A good thing.
Well, I love Santa Clarita. It's so pretty up there.
And they got cobbler.
Really?
The cobbler.
No.
They make homemade cobbler.
Peach cobbler is one of my favorites.
Peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler.
Here we go. Anyway, we wanted to mention that the following Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival will be next weekend. You're welcome. You can come. It's a wonderful festival. It'll be at William S. Hart. Have you ever been there?
I have never been.
You got to go to the house. It's one. They have animals, buffaloes. They have buffaloes in the backyard.
Really? You know, buffalo's good eating. Yeah. I lived in Arizona for a while, and we used to have a friend of mine who would slaughter a buffalo. It's fantastically good. It's delicious.
All right. Let's get our barbecue buffalo right now.
No
barbecue buffalo. One, I just got to do my... these people pay for the broadcast, so I got
to... So we have to...
We got to tell them. Rosie Flores is the one who's going to sing. Rosie has made her debut in San Francisco as a country artist. We're going to have her on our show next week. We have some country artists. And then we're going to have another lady who's going to be part of the... You haven't been to the Cajun Blue Festival. Simi Valley.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Cover them.
Well, you know, I got tons of family on Simi Valley.
I'm telling you, we got to go. By the way, the one, William S. Hart, they're going to have a lot of different country events. They're going to have bars open all over.
Blue jeans and cowboy hats.
It's good for our audience.
Who's up for blue jeans and cowboy hats?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
You know, I have my father's cowboy hat that he got made about 50 years ago.
And what do they always say in the Western movie? Yippee-yay.
Yippee-yay. Well, I don't want to finish that. I was thinking more like, remember, what was it? Bruce Willis. Yippee-yay-kay.
We're focused on the audience. Anyway, we get in there free. We're going to be going there. And then I was going to mention that we're going to have the Simi Valley Cajun and Blues Festival. And you know who's going to be there? It's a wonderful thing. We're going to have, at that festival, Robbie Krieger is going to be there. Robbie Krieger Band, celebrating the years of the Doors music. They're going to be there. The Yardbirds are going to be there. Shape of Things to Come. This is at the Blues Festival.
The Yardbirds, I have not heard from them in years.
Well, they're coming back. They're all retired. They're coming back.
Nice.
And by the way, there may be Neil Young. Coming, and maybe also, from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Yeah.
Graham Nash.
Really?
It's a secret. They said,
well, not anymore.
Not anymore. There goes that. And then they're going to have the Big Bob Voodoo Daddy. They've become really popular.
Nice.
And they're going to have Eric Clapton.
Gotta love Clapton.
And Jimmy Page. What band did he play? You know the band?
No, I don't.
Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, they had Jimmy Page and who's the other front with Led Zeppelin?
Have no idea. I didn't listen to Led Zeppelin.
Robert Plant.
Of course. I was an opera kid. Remember that?
Hey, man. Yeah, I'm just freaking out. This is LA.
My jam's opera.
I read about different names. And they're going to have Doug Kershaw. You remember him?
Yeah.
The fiddlist?
Yes.
He's going to be there.
Nice.
So we're going to have a nice show. We've been all invited, so we'll go there. And then for that one, we're going to be meeting with Robert Krieger. He was with The Doors.
Yeah.
And he'll tell us all about The Doors. And we're going to have the guy wrote a new movie about The Doors.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll find out.
Well, you know, you got to love The Doors. The Doors were something special. And, you know, some of the stories are fantastic.
Come on, baby.
Light My Fire.
That's one. What's the other one?
We
get people to answer here. That's what
well, I will tell you, you know, do you remember when they would perform over there at Whiskey A Go-Go?
Right.
They lived in that apartment upstairs in the building next door. They had that whole top floor.
Yeah.
And there are stories of things that happened up there when they were living there for those 6 months that I've heard from some really... Do you remember the story Almost Famous, the movie Almost Famous?
Yeah.
The guy who wrote that, Mr. Friend, is a close friend of a friend of mine.
Oh, Cameron Crowe.
Yeah. So we sat down and he told me some really crazy stories about things that happened up there. But weekends, he never stopped.
Anyway, nice to meet you.
I can't wait to hear. And then we've got Corey Muniz is here with us to talk to us about...
Flu Chef.
Flu Chef, say hi for us.
Yes, hi, Corey. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Now, Corey,
were
you in the medical biz?
I am a holistic health caregiver.
Okay, so tell us about... For example, everyone's going to wait till September to get their flu shot. Why shouldn't we get our flu shot?
I have no idea, except to line the pockets
well,
of the medical industry.
That's informative.
Yeah.
What, say that again?
To line the pockets of the medical industry.
Okay. So you talk to us about how the conspiracy of the whole
thing. Yeah, tell. Give me some of your...
Conspiracy of this. Because we all know that this is the evil empire trying to kill us all.
Well, we've been fed a line of BS for a very, very long time that these vaccines are good. But they don't even know the fundamental functioning of the body. When we get sick, we generally get it through our mouth or our nose, and that's a filtering system. We don't put it subdermally into our bloodstream directly in an area where it can cross the blood-brain barrier with things like aluminum and mercury and bacterias.
Things they actually put in the vaccines.
Things that they put in the vaccines. And there are different types of vaccines. Some are live bacterias and viruses,
live bacteria, okay.
And some are dead.
Which are what would you consider live bacteria? Because I'm not a specialist. I only get the shot. So tell me what's
so what was
alive.
The one you just got? You said you got
a
shot.
Oh, I took the pneumonia because I'm diabetic.
Pneumonia.
They said I had to take pneumonia
right.
Or my insurance company could cancel me. This is a true story. So they had me take pneumonia and, you know, Walmart, you don't know if you're going to get a disease after taking the flu shot. So Walmart, the lady goes, you got to take it. I said, why?
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, because you have type 2, we don't, you know, there's problems. With pneumonia and a whole bunch of stuff. So why? Which are the big
ones
that we shouldn't take?
Well, you shouldn't, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You shouldn't take any of them.
Okay. Why?
Why? Because they don't. Most of these are for things that are very simple illnesses that we acquire. We're supposed to acquire them at a certain time to actually boost our natural immunity. Herd immunity is a lie.
Okay.
It doesn't exist. You have to be able... The process of it is you are born, you come down the birthing canal, there are certain viruses and bacteria that you get from your mother. That gives you your basic start on your immunity. And then as the years come, you get your measles, you get your mumps, you get these things at a certain time.
Mumps and...
Whooping cough?
What?
Yeah. Yes. Measles, mumps, rubella, right, all those things.
Et cetera, yes.
So what,
et cetera.
So I take the shot. Tell me what's going to happen with me. I'm that dude that gets paranoid when the insurance company says, you take it or we're going to... That's what they're doing now, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So
they're
what should I do?
They're forcing kids. There's a whole law now. They're going to force children to... it's a children's
Jerry
right
Brown.
Them. Yeah, that the
Governor Moonbeam.
Right. Well, first of all, let me just explain. In 1983, our children took 24 doses of vaccines.
Wow.
As of 2016, there's a total of 72 doses before we are 18 years old. And that's a lot of mercury. That's a lot of aluminum dioxide. That's a lot of monosodium glutamate. That's a lot of polysorbate 80, which is an abortionate.
Yeah.
And yeah. So it really is disallowing our immune system to function the way it's supposed to work.
So what we're doing is we're adding another source, allegedly, to immune.
To kill us.
But why, let me ask you a question. Why are the insurance companies going to various, like Vons, what's the one? Big one. Well, Walmart I go to, mm-hmm. but I go to Rite Aid, which mm-hmm. is owned by Walgreens. Yeah. Walgreens. They're getting very cheap. They're offering very cheap. They don't tell you what. They don't have a pamphlet. What could happen, or
right.
paper,
which is informed consent, which is the law. You're supposed,
they don't, you don't get
supposed
one.
To have
I'm serious.
It. Most
I'm
people don't one. Even know to ask. I think if you asked for the insert,
I did. I didn't get anything.
Well, then I would walk out.
Really?
That would be like going to buy a car and then asking them about the warranty, and they say, "Nah, we'll talk about
what
later.
Warranty?
What
you
warranty?
Mean, sort of like
exactly.
When they asked us to pass Obamacare, and they said, after we pass it, you can read the bill.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
And a lot of people became victims of it. Now, let me ask you, young mom, kid, they tried to get them evacuated, vaccinated.
I
can't say that word. So tell us, why were they pushing the babies first?
Well, I from my research, because I've been a medical researcher for over 30 years, and through my research, I feel it's just a cradle-to-grave philosophy that if they get you sick when you're young,
right.
they've got a patient, they've got a client for the rest of your life.
Well, and they get you sick, they keep you sick. What about these
exactly.
kids who, like, they'll get a vaccine, and next thing you know, they've got autism, or they've got some other disease that
or
you just don't know
diabetes.
Where it comes from, or diabetes, and all these
or
things.
Or acephaly,
exactly.
Which is in the inserts on certain vaccines. So when the Zika virus was being mm-hmm. pushed as the reason for acephaly, it wasn't that. It was that population was vaccinated prior to the acephaly happening, and these
wow.
women got
pregnant.
So the
pregnant. People from Brazil, were they,
yes.
remember when they had the
yes.
Olympics last year? They made everyone crazy. They go, don't go to Brazil.
Yeah, because they made everyone in Brazil they could to take all these shots.
Yeah.
They were actually giving the people, the citizens in the cities, so they wouldn't get the foreigners sick, and they're making all the people who are citizens sick.
Yeah.
That was one of the things they did. And then you mentioned something about aluminum dioxide. That's what they put in the air when they do the
geoengineering.
Yeah, the geoengineering, but I can't think
yes.
what it's called, the lines in the
chemtrails.
Air. Chemtrails, thank you.
Oh, the chemtrails, yeah, they
yeah,
have.
That's what they're putting
by the way,
in chemtrails.
It was a chemtrail.
Aluminum, strontium, and barium. And have they ever tested those chemicals with the chemicals in the vaccines?
No.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so how can we even think for a second that a newborn child, or it's even worse because they're actually giving vaccines to women while they're pregnant,
right.
and my stepdaughter was held down and forced a vaccine while she was in labor.
Yeah,
that's what they did to me, I understand.
And in 1986, they passed the Childhood Vaccination Injury Act. And what that did is that removed all liability from the manufacturers. And how they did that was the manufacturers decided that they were going to go to Congress and say, look, if you don't remove liability for us, we're going to stop making vaccines because we can't afford it. We can't afford these
right.
lawsuits.
Well, if you made a quality product, who would sue you?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
but
come
it's
on.
Not, it's not what
well,
it's about.
What was it, Pfizer?
Yes.
They're big Pfizer, and then there's one from Israel.
Merck.
No, Israel, they do the generic stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Teva.
Teva.
I mean, let me ask you a question, because I go to Rite Aid. Mm-hmm. I think they love me at Rite Aid, but I don't want to be loved at Rite Aid.
Well, they have
but
cheap
I
chocolate
see,
there.
I know, well, no, they give the young mothers a lot of drugs and a lot of vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do to stop this flow of vaccines?
Well, you have to call your. I think it starts at the local level. It starts
what do you mean,
with
congressmen
your local,
or assemblymen.
Even before then, just your local community representatives, and you make them watch a movie like Vaxxed. And Vaxxed is an amazing movie. Not so much anti-vaccine, but it explains that the CDC actually fraudulently published their MMR study.
And yes, tell us more about that.
Well, Dr. William Thompson was one of the lead researchers on the product, and he finally, his conscience got to him, and he contacted somebody and said, look, I have to spill the beans. I have to let you know. We knew that this was going to affect young black babies more than Caucasian babies. We knew that it was going to lead to autism in some cases. And
a lot more than just some.
And we covered it up. We covered it up, and it's
epilepsy is another one.
Yes, epilepsy.
Because I did a story about someone, you know, a child that was suffering. Guess what the government did? Gave many evacuations, you know, vaccination. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, you know, in the serious side of thing, is that it's a never-ending battlefield with the drug companies. And also, who, you know, when Trump got elected, I'm on the negative side of Trump, I would say he got supported by a lot of the medical manufacturers, mm-hmm. you know, like Monsanto, and other people supported him. And I hate Monsanto.
Well, Monsanto's now Bayer.
Yeah.
Bayer aspirin.
Bayer from Germany.
Bayer from Germany now owns them.
Right. IB Farben.
Yeah.
Yes. Which gave children HIV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're really two very well-fitted companies.
Well, another thing about HIV, Magic Johnson was the famous person that got HIV, but you haven't heard too many things about HIV.
Well, you know, he is a member of he is a Mason.
Is he? Magic Johnson? I don't know.
Yeah, 33.
I know Paul Abdul would beg to argue with you on that. You know, she was the first one he had contact with after HIV. Now, tell us, you said go to our local officials. Mm-hmm. Where do we start? You said local, what do you mean?
Now, you've been going to senators and representatives.
Councilmen?
Councilmen here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we've...
Mayor? You were just with Senator...
Stern.
Stern, just like 2 weeks ago, you were telling me.
Right, but that was about the Aliso Canyon...
about the
storage
Porter
facility
Ranch?
In Porter Ranch.
I live up there.
Right.
I know.
You know, talking about Trump, I mean, I'm getting off topic a little bit.
Well, I know you love him so much.
So concerned about the poor babies. What about the babies in Flint, Michigan? What about the babies in Northridge and Porter Ranch, California that are having bloody noses?
The water in Flint, Michigan.
That are going blind. The animals that are dying for no reason whatsoever. It's just horrendous. You've got grandparents who can't see their grandkids because the kids come over and end up with bloody noses and can't breathe and upper respiratory issues are through the roof. A friend of mine's in ICU right now, and they held her a day and a half extra in
that,
the ICU
that goes all
because
way
there
back.
Was no room.
Well,
there
yeah,
was no
but,
room in the
yeah,
whole
they
hospital.
Have no room. That's true.
But you know, you know that it's all these massive companies. You're talking about Southwest Gas. The gas company is one of the biggest.
SoCal
Gas.
They don't even care about people.
They hate people. They overcharge everyone.
You know what happened?
SoCal Gas is one of the worst people ever.
Lisa Canyon, we went in because I'm not far from Porter Ranch. I got a cough. My neighbor is not the same. He's been going to, you know, doctor specialists. Mm-hmm. And you know what the guy told me? You're not welcome in here. Because I said to him, I go, we're having a problem. You're not welcome. With that attitude, you know there's a cover-up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's absolutely a cover-up.
Well, Jerry Brown's sister sits on the board of Semper Energy, which is
Kathleen?
Yeah.
Wonderful Kathleen.
They're dirty. They're just dirty.
Yeah, because you know what it is? Political figures, they're out for money, and Jerry Brown has been known to go after folks like that. And he signed the bill. The bill.
Well, he should never have run this for that. The last two terms, he really wasn't allowed. He'd already had his first two terms.
Well, he wanted to show off a little bit.
That he could do it again, and then he's done nothing.
What about Arnold? Because I heard Arnold was part of the Aliso Canyon, and he will not comment on it. Because Arnold allowed Southern California Gas the resources to go in there. Have you heard about that?
No.
Yeah, that had to do with...
I tried to interview Arnold. Short thing about it, no comment. And he is a story behind it.
Yes, well, you know, he wanted to do is the gas thing that he was bringing in all the gas had to do with... God, what's the energy that's the clean energy...
A clean energy act?
The clean energy thing that he was doing... The cars that use...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's it? Not hydrogen, it's...
Hybrid?
Not hybrid.
Electric? Fuel cell?
Fuel cells. Yeah. It was the fuel cells. You use natural gas to separate that out so you can create oxygen fuel cells.
Make water.
And that's the whole point of that he was bringing all that gas in. It had to do with that. So he was trying to do the future, but at the same time, he was getting paid under the table for all of us. Like everyone else. Well,
there's
and
a lot of controversy
so
between
and,
that.
And people don't realize that there's actually they use radiation to frack and to create those things. So now you've got all these heavy metals and chemicals going in the air and the radiation.
And the water.
And
the water is not pure at all.
We're getting it from Fukushima. We're getting everything from everywhere.
Let me ask you a question. The water, they try to pass for fluoridation.
Yes.
The water is worse now than ever in California. And I think when you go to Owens Valley, that area, they even go to Nevada to try to get water, the state, because they're running out of water.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, we're running out of usable water.
Usable water, exactly.
Well, every drop that's ever been on the planet is still here. It hasn't gone
anywhere. So, in other words, what you're saying is the state is just keeping people hostage over the water situation. Because I've noticed state of California, suddenly everything is filled up.
Well, the thing was is we were not empty in the first place.
Yeah.
That was all a lie. We've had plenty of water for almost 3 years. They were just trying to force us to look like we had a drought,
right?
Because they were trying to control the people and where they're growing.
That's a Jerry Brown, another Jerry Brown thing. See, I've become a leftist from all that's been going on, and
I don't understand how anybody cannot. I have friends that support Trump, and I'm like,
why?
Why? What planet are you on? You're this, you're that. He hates this, that, and that.
With abortion. That's you're talking about abortion.
Well,
I know
Trump has only been in office for what, 100 days?
I know John Michael and me will have
that.
Let's be honest. Who was in charge before that? That was Obama, and Obama was just as bad as all the rest. Let's be honest. They're all bad.
They're all for self-interest.
You can't blame just Trump. Trump is now, but who was doing it 3 years ago? That was Obama.
There's a lot of stuff that went on, but there was also a lot of obstruction. I used to actually watch the congressional and the Senate hearings, and there would be a lot of really good bills put on, and then you get some guy, well, in Oklahoma,
we don't have this problem.
We have this company here, and we make bows and arrows, and we need this and that and the other thing, and then they'd get that.
And the EPA, the destruction of the EPA, and what he said about abortion. What he wants to get rid of is Planned Parenthood. That's crazy.
It's crazy because as a woman here in the San Fernando Valley, I went to Planned Parenthood for my pap smears, my mammograms, my healthy checkups because I couldn't afford to go anywhere else. And that's what the majority of the funding goes to.
Right.
So, you know,
I think it's like 500 million or billion.
When he's cutting that, he's cutting health care for women. And
he's building the wall. He's building the wall. He's taking the money for the wall.
He should build
the
wall around himself.
Well, anyway, I was going to say, I agree with you. It's like a sister in revolution. I agree with you. Because I think when you give government time to think about what's going on, they'll screw it up. And look at the mayor, Mayor Garcetti. He says he hasn't done anything to improve the water and stuff at all. Anyway, because we have so many people, we appreciate you coming in.
Oh,
we'll have you
so
for
much.
Longer. And this gets... you know, the subject I want to go over again is about, you know, the shots, the insurance companies, and also the pharmacies.
Pharmaceuticals.
They're all getting kickbacks.
Yes, and GMOs.
All related. Well, California has been very aggressive, and the people voted for no GMOs and products.
I was one of the people that got Prop 37 on the ballot.
I wish I would have known. I would have had you on my show.
Yeah. It's and we're working at it from a different angle now, but in 2009 when I started lecturing on GMOs, nobody knew what one was, and now they know, so we're doing something
good. What you did was good. We want to have you back, so we'll go over other crucial issues.
I'd love to.
You coming.
Thank you so much.
You're wonderful. Thank you very much. Take a picture of us before you go. Anyway, I'm going to introduce some ladies of theater, so they're going to talk about their plays. They're, you know, acting, and a great bunch of people. Phil Sokoloff has never done me wrong. Sent me some nice people. Here,
Phil's the best.
I took a shower. I'm kidding. Anyway, we're on the air. We're going to talk about acting in L.A.
Ooh,
that's our next subject.
We love it.
Thank you. The Belle of Amherst.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Those are great. Now, do you have somebody on your play? We're going to introduce, I love your name, Farrell Marshall. Farrell. She's got a nice name.
Welcome.
I went. I had one of your flyers. I had to go cover a performer, and he loved your name. He goes, "I love the name Farrell." Farrell. That was really good. Now, oh, I get it on a. I get. You're the first.
She's modern.
You're the first. I get it on a deck.
We're going.
I get it on a deck.
I know. We're going digital here.
Yeah, you can be here.
Oh, get
Yeah, give it. Do we have anyone else?
No, we don't have anyone else.
Okay, that's it. Anyway, let's talk about plays. Let's talk about the Belle of Amherst. And I love, she's from Austin, Texas.
San
and what I remember about you is you dedicated your play for your ex-husband.
Mine.
It really meant something to me because I read it, you know, your bio.
So, and, yes, my late husband.
And you related to me because, yeah. you know, doing something for someone that cared about your art.
Yes.
And then about your mom, mm-hmm. your production company.
So my company's named after my mother.
Mom, yeah, that's cool. Your mom's not, she's not around, right?
She's not, so.
Well, you're using your creative talent to put these folks where they should be, honored. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's cool. Now tell us, let's go around the room here. Now tell us about the Belle of Amherst. You have tickets available?
Yes, we do. We have 2 weekends left.
Okay.
The Belle of Amherst, it's a one-woman play about Emily Dickinson. The play takes you from age 15 up till her death. All of her famous poems mm-hmm. are there. I'm Nobody and Hope is a Thing with Feathers and I Dwell in Possibility.
And by the way, there's a book. Isn't there a book called The Belle of Amherst?
Well, this is the play. I have a huge library.
Yeah.
There's so many books.
I just want to tell the audience because people ask me, they go, oh, could I, you know, read about it and then see the play? So it was very interesting.
Well, if they read a short bio on Emily, they'll get pretty
They'll
much,
get most of the play.
They'll get the play.
They get most of the play.
Because you get to meet her father and mother and brother, the family, the men that she loved, people that she lived with in the community. You get kind of like an inside perspective
right.
of why she became a recluse. And
what's it? When did you see the play? I didn't see your play. I will. Because I don't have time, I will.
Okay.
We'll go together because I'm dying to see, because I've always wanted to know why she became a recluse. I never really looked at
it. I was just thinking the same question.
I never had that answer.
Yeah.
Though I've read her stuff for years.
Right. And no one really has the answer. William Luce, the playwright, did kind of bring us through it. That it was very deliberate. You know, she liked
being
the eccentric. And her heart did... it got broken and shattered many times in her life, and the more hurt she became, the more withdrawn she was. But she still continued throughout everything.
She was an artist.
And writing.
It's like when you draw a painting, people have their, you know, they want to draw another painting because she took this play, you know, the adaptation of it, and made it so real for all of us.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I saw, by the way, they had a Broadway play. To prepare for my interview.
Yes.
And they had Julie Andrews play.
Julie Harris. She won the Tony. That's like one of her...
You're talking about Julie Harris, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Julie Andrews played in New York.
Really?
Yeah, it's online. That's where I get all my stuff. It's online, baby.
It must be true.
Online. And by the way, for Easter, you're going to be around this Sunday?
We are. We're doing a matinee on Easter. And actually, it's a very uplifting play. She's a very charming woman and so witty. And so many people have said, we didn't know. And they leave feeling very hopeful and seeking the art in life. And so many people have said, I went home immediately and either went online or pulled off the dusty poetry book off the shelf and, you know, just went back into her words. Her words are so beautiful.
Her words are magical. I was telling them before the show that I had a friend who was in the hospital who wasn't feeling terrible, who ended up passing away about 25 years ago. And we used to read Emily Dickinson together, and it was really beautiful moments. And you know, when I think about some of the rhythm of her words,
it was her own meter.
Yeah, it was her own. It was, if you pay attention to the rhythm of the way she spoke and the way the words came out, it is very magical. It is very musical.
And something about her writing, the power of her dash, and then she would capitalize certain words within a poem, and it changes the meaning. And originally, when they published and found over 1,800 poems, they published it, but they made it all correct, and it changed the meaning.
Oh,
and then when they went back,
And was like, no, that's not, because it's all part of her meter. It's all part of the pause. And with each pause is a different way to interpret it. So
now,
it's been a journey learning.
I've never seen copies of her actual handwriting. I would love to. I'm going to look on the internet and look for that specifically. Online. Yeah.
Well, we got Jordana.
It's Jordana Dana.
Remember your husband?
Rosanna Dana.
Saturday Night Live?
Yep. Rosanna
Oberman, are you not related to Keith, are you?
I'm not. I don't have an L. If I had an L, then I would.
Keith,
but
me
I lost
at,
my L somewhere.
I worked with Keith at a radio station.
Did you really?
Back east, yeah.
Oh, what a trip. That had to have been fun.
No,
he's great.
He was the news guy.
Yeah.
I was the sports guy.
Yeah.
And then it was funny. My career changed, and I became the news guy. He
flipped.
Sports.
Y'all traded.
Yeah, he's going to be
really
on, I understand he got a gig on CBS Sports. So they're going to put them on.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, that's good. That's so lovely. That could have been a relative.
Yeah,
so
I know. Could
about,
have been. If
tell
I
us about the Life and Times or Jordana
Oberman. So I don't know if you want to look at that. So
that's creative. Right? Creative talent.
You like how that happens? So I am opening in the play Rabbit Hole by David Lindsay Abaire. This upcoming Friday on April 21st, we run through May 14th at the Lounge Theater over in Hollywood.
Okay.
And the play was the 2006 Pulitzer Prize winner. It opened on Broadway. It was starring Cynthia Nixon. And it is...
Love her work.
She's incredible. And this play, it's so interesting. You were just talking about the text and the capitalization and the punctuation and where it's put. David Lindsay Abaire's writing is so methodical in the way that he utilizes pauses, beats, his punctuation specifically for the pacing. And if you do not adhere to it, it totally changes what is happening within the work.
Really?
Yeah,
let me ask you.
Really,
because
cool
of time. Let me ask.
Yeah.
So where's this going to be playing at?
So it's at the Lounge Theater in Hollywood.
Nice venue.
It's beautiful and it's super intimate. The play, it all takes place inside of our house, and it's about a family who's trying to put the next foot forward after
a tragic accident. You're taking ownership. You said inside
our house.
You really have taken ownership
of
this.
I can just tell that.
You really are.
I got a call, real life. A live call.
Ooh,
I'll take a live call.
Yay.
Welcome to Cameron's Sports and Life on a wonderful Easter weekend.
Good Friday.
Who's this?
Cameron, this is Jose.
Hey, Jose.
Get Danny?
No. Jose, what's going on?
You know who we just had on the radio a few minutes ago? One of your dear friends, Corey Muniz, is here in the station. She was just with us.
But she knows Jose.
Oh, I missed Corey.
Like, she wanted to surprise
you.
I brought her in just for you, and your tushy was not here.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm getting blood work done, man.
Well, that's your fault, not ours. You should text her, because she's in the room next to us right now.
And by the way, Jose has a brand new film. Tell everyone about it.
Yeah, Skyfish, man. It's going to kick butt. I'm going to put NASA out of business.
Wow.
Well, you know, they do invent some really cool things they've stolen from the aliens that we love using, like Velcro and the internet.
Listen, I'm not going to hold you guys up anymore. I'm going to contact Corey. I can't believe it, man. Of all times to be getting my blood done, man. Son of a bee, man.
You just want to hang out with that beautiful woman. She's gorgeous.
I want to wish every one of you a happy Easter vacation, holiday, weekend. And God bless everybody, and I'll talk to you next. I'll be there next Friday for sure, Cameron.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Jose.
Bye, Jose. Love you.
Jose will be
love you guys.
Contact in the desert.
Contact in the desert.
Bye.
We're all going to go to the contact in the desert.
Yeah.
We're going to go see aliens.
Okay.
Talk about UFOs.
Meet all the cool people.
Segment of our population. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, I've always had this theory.
When I did the show,
what's
funny was, Howard Stern. Oh, gotta listen to Howard.
What about Howard?
Howard talked about me. He talked about me doing UFOs. He goes, one of my ex, he called me ex-host, is doing a show. And I think he listened to our show.
Yeah.
So he said, he's kind of cool. He doesn't want to get into different issues like I do.
Totally.
But he talked about show we had about the UFOs. And it was really interesting.
Oh, that's cool.
And he talked about it. He goes, they're not the crazy people in New York. They're like real people.
They're like actual people.
Well, you know, maybe we should do a call and have
Howard call into our show
one night. Give him a call and make fun of him. Now let's get back. Let's get back to your.
Oh my gosh, we're bringing it back around, guys. Do you feel that?
I felt it. I have a synergy between us, which we would never know.
It's really
aside from we were excited that there were two actors with
players. So tell us about the rabbit hole real quick.
Okay, so Rabbit Hole is about a family who is putting their lives back together after a tragic accident. And the best way to think about it is that it's an entire group of people that are all grieving in different ways, and they don't know how to justify the fact that they're not on the same plane. Right. And what's so amazing about it is that there's this concept of these rabbit holes, which are sort of these like holes, a network of holes into other universes, other galaxies, right, where multiple versions of us can exist. And weirdly enough, it helps them to start to rationalize that we're experiencing things in our own way. It doesn't make it better. It just makes it different.
Right.
And there's such honesty to that, especially in what's happening all around for people everywhere right now, that people are in so many different places. And there's a joy to learning. You don't have to judge that.
Right.
But instead, you can just honor you're in it and I'm in it. And we're not in it together, but there's something to just sort of accept.
Hey, will you take something from it?
You too.
And now tell us about, are you going to do an Easter show?
We are not open yet. So we open on the 21st.
Next Friday
night. Friday night is our opening. We have a gala on Saturday night where there's going to be champagne.
Gala, champagne.
Desserts and little like meet and greet with the actors.
Oh, that's cool.
We have a phenomenal team. We're headed up by Eric Honeycutt, who is a delightfully good director.
Who are some of the actors?
We have Toni Christopher, who you would have seen on This Is Us this year, and she was on Masters of Sex.
Masters of Sex.
Right.
Someone's got to know what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, thank God. Right? If we got to learn from somewhere.
Someone's got to teach us, because I got to tell you, I have a lot. You know, as a gay man, I listen to my straight girlfriends tell me about how many men these straight women date that have no concept of what they're doing. And seriously, I told a girlfriend of mine, get a Sharpie and make little arrows.
This is hilarious.
And explain it. And I
actually, bind here.
And this is what you're supposed to do here. And this is what I like here. Oh. And she looked at me and she said, that isn't a bad idea.
There you go.
It's getting naughty in here, everybody. We're taking a turn.
I know. I'm actually being good.
Are you?
Yes. Oh, girl. You have
saucy.
No. Oh, I'm very saucy.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, saucy and gravy.
What? Ooh. Oh,
I don't know. Biscuit and gravy. And,
you know, someone once called me a biscuit. I had no idea what that meant, but that was a compliment.
That's what that is. It's saucy. Anyway, one more thing we want to know about the play.
Yes, yes.
So tell us, you told us about the actors.
Yes.
You know who's going to be directing it.
Right.
How'd you choose this part?
How, you know what, the part is, I'm lucky enough to be in the lead of this one, and it is probably one of the most challenging roles I've ever done.
What is your role?
I am the mother of the child that died in this tragic accident, and so I am very much so orbiting everybody else, trying to put my feet in front of each other and trying to figure out how to move forward in life, in my relationship with my husband, in my relationship with my mother. My sister is pregnant, I find out in the first scene. Mm-hmm. And so there's like new life coming in as we're trying to clear out the old.
The old, right?
Yeah. And so I think for me as an actor, it was where I'm at in my life right now, what is it to take that on? And do it in a way without judgment and with respect for what it is to be a parent, but also a human. And because we all go through loss, right? And it's like, it's not one-sided. There's Eastern ways of grieving. There's Western ways of grieving. There's universal ways of grieving. It's all around us. And there's just so much grief happening in our world that I think I needed to channel it into connection, because we're constantly with screens.
And you
I put my bloody thing away all the time. I
Thank
do,
God.
Like my phone,
we were just talking about
like
this,
I
right,
turn
Carol?
It off at least half the day. I have Thank it off God. Or in mm-hmm. another room. People look at me and go like, where's your phone? I said, in the bedroom.
As it should be.
And I'm out in the backyard. Like,
connect with a human.
I'm talking to you. Why do I want to have...
Phone, yeah.
I don't want this box in front of my face constantly. I have things to do. I have people to interact with.
Yes.
And one of the things I want to say with the two of you who are here, that I'm noticing over the last... You know, I moved back to L.A., because I was born here. I'm from here.
Yeah.
I moved back about 5 years ago, rebuilding my clientele, doing everything else. And I've lived in New York. I've lived in Europe. And one of the things I've really learned is L.A. has got a really good underground actors that are doing great theater
really
that
does.
No one's paying attention to.
Nobody
we have
comes.
Such cute... We have great little intimate spaces all over this city to do good work.
Yes.
And there, people really need to know about this. There's some great work being done by some very good actors.
Very talented people.
Very talented
and,
people.
And you know what's interesting? They had a review, LA Weekly had a whole thing about the, they called it the Closet Theater.
Oh.
An whole article about plays that are not being seen, actors that are very good.
Yeah.
It was in the LA Weekly, and also Orange County is having the same problem.
They totally are. Down in Costa Mesa, they have tremendous theater happening there as well. And I think Farrell, you know, the two of us were just talking about what it is to be an artist in LA and to really honor the craft of this work and the idea of wanting to connect with a live human audience. Yes. You know, we are TV and film in LA, and so everybody just expects if you can't sit in a dark room and kind of absorb it like a voyeur, then it doesn't work.
But you don't feel like when you're seeing a
tactile experience of being in a room.
Everything happens. It's much like I'm an opera kid, okay?
Yeah.
I studied opera. That's what my bachelor's degree is in. So I'm an actor deep down inside and a singer.
Yeah.
So to me, when I'm in a room, when I'm seeing theater, it speaks to my soul. Yes. I love theater. I can't get enough. And I have too many people say, you know, I wish there was better theater in LA. I said, there is theater in LA.
Well,
right.
And in the
nobody
Bell
knows
of Amherst,
about it.
There's no fourth wall. So Emily speaks directly to the audience.
To the audience.
She asks them to, what do you think of that? Or this is what's happening. And I find as an actor, when I connect with someone, everybody is like, oh, don't look at me.
Wow.
Right. No, oh, God, like they've been caught.
They feel that energy.
Right.
And
they
feel the performer. Now, real quick, we got 30 seconds.
Okay.
And just tell us where the play is, where you're performing the play.
So we're at the Sierra Madre Playhouse.
Okay.
If you've
Which
never
is?
Been to Sierra Madre, it's like 15 minutes from the Pasadena Playhouse. If you've been to Pasadena, it's right next door.
Good restaurant nearby.
The most charming city. Great theater, great shopping, and truly, it'll be a lovely afternoon. I hope you'll come out for Easter because it'll be a wonderful production. And we have 3 shows next week.
Nice.
I wish I could come, but I'm going to go up to do an event for the Native Americans.
Oh, cool.
So I'll be up in Santa Barbara. I wish I could go. See what happens in my life. And then, by the way, one thing I want to mention, I want to thank you
thank
both
you
very
so much.
So tell us more about where your show's
so,
going to be.
And Rabbit Hole opens April 21st, and we run through May 14th. We're every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the evenings. You can get your tickets on Plays411. That's where you can find it.
Right.
Plays411.com.
Great restaurants.
It's there's a phenomenal restaurant right nearby called Farm Boy, which is right.
Oh, I love Farm Boy.
They're amazing.
Can I tell you, Farm Boy has the best chili in the world.
They're awesome.
They are awesome. I love this place.
They are.
I've got to take you there. You're going to fall madly in love.
Anyway, I'm the bad boy now and say thank you all very much for coming.
Thank you so much for having us. It was such a treat.
We're going to get into the UFO world. We're going to talk about the bending of the spoons. I'm going to have a guy come in, and
we're having Uri Geller come in?
Wait, is he actually going to bend it? Is he going to do it?
He's going to bend it. Someone else.
In front of you?
Right here. Right here, right now.
I'll bring some spare spoons.
Yeah, we'll get some spoons.
I'll do Johnny Carson play.
I hope you're going to video it.
I know.
We'll get it in. Anyway, you guys say goodnight from Los Angeles.
Goodnight, Cameron. We love you.
Happy Easter, all. Passover, get rid of that matzah.
Yeah, all right. Oh, don't forget, JohnMichaelCapaldi.com. Come book a reading with me, and I'll talk to you all soon.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know I love Farm Boy.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker right here on LA Talk Radio.
I'm